Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is Elder G. Bazaar. This is Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry, coming to you from Warren, Ohio, breaking on down there in Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. Dr. Derek Oliver and hosting me for the last 3 or 4 years, amen, since 2013. Been preaching the gospel over the internet, Block Talk Radio. Telling the world, telling the postman, telling the mailman, telling the milkman, Jesus Christ is the answer to our lives. I want to emphasize that Jesus Christ is the number one answer to our lives. If you want to live a better life, if you want to live a changed life, if you want to live a life that God will be pleased with, the only way that you can please God is to do what? Accept His Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that He did 2,000 years ago. I don't know how to emphasize that. It's the centerfold of salvation is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There is no other way a person can be please God but through Jesus Christ. You must be born again. And that's not expressed enough in our modern day teachings and theologies, because people got Christianity all trying to mess Christianity up. And Christianity has nothing to do with religion. Uh-oh, Christianity is a relationship, a divine experience relationship with Jesus Christ and His shed blood on Calvary's cross. The cross is the centerfold of the Bible. Without the cross, listen to me, without the cross, without the power that God did through His Son Jesus Christ, without Jesus Christ being God Almighty in the flesh, there is no way God could be pleased with any other way to bring the human race back to God. And what I am saying, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ by the shed blood on Calvary's cross. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The first 4,000 years, blood was shed through the animal world. The animal world was the one that was shedding their blood for a sacrifice and an atonement for sin. That's in the Old Testament. And Jews were the one that God instituted to the Jewish nation that there must be a blood sacrifice in order to appease God for the covering of sin in the Old Testament. Men had to sacrifice animals such as goats and turtle doves and lambs and red heifers for a sacrifice and a blood atonement for the sins of man. He had to have that animal. He had to have that lamb blood in order for God to give them power to escape the judgment of God Almighty. When they came up out of the land of Egypt, they had to kill a lamb and shed the blood of a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of the doorpost of each and every individual home in Israel. While Israel was in Egypt, they had to take that lamb and sacrifice it and use it and burn it and eat it with bitter herbs. They had to do that. They had to do that. Otherwise, Israel would have never been able to come up out of the land of Egypt. Do you hear what I'm saying? They never would have been able to come up out of the land of Egypt unless they give a blood sacrifice of a ewe lamb between 3 years old and under. No more than 3 years old. If it was more than 3 years old, the lamb was not offered sacrifice. You had to be within the 3 years of the date that that lamb was born. And they had to cut the jugular vein and take the basin and put the hyssop inside the basin and sprinkle it over the doorpost and wipe it on the doorpost. And the Lord told Moses to tell the people of Israel, when he death comes through Israel, comes through Egypt, he said the only way that they can escape is if I see the blood on the doorpost. If I see the blood, I will let death pass over the family that's inside the house. So no family of Israel could have came out of Egypt except they obey the blood sacrifice of a ewe lamb. They had to have a lamb. If there was no lamb sacrifice, Israel would have never come out. I can't stress that enough, but I'm going to get to that later on and show you where Judaism was necessary in the Old Testament. Judaism was necessary because it was instituted by God to Moses, and Moses gave it to Israel, and Israel used Judaism for at least 4,000 years. They used Judaism because Judaism is law and blood sacrifice. And law was cruel, but they had a blood sacrifice to sacrifice lambs in order for God to make an atonement and appease God for the atonement of their sins. Ooh, no blood, no blood, no salvation. Religion, all religions have never had blood sacrifices like Israel. All nations of the world, all the Gentile nations, never used a lamb for blood sacrifice. God instituted that to Israel, and 4,000 years they used that sacrifice under Judaism until the fullness of time came. 4,000 years they had to do that. And they were slaying animals. They were shedding the blood. They would do it over and over. They would kill an animal the next day. They kill the animal until it was bloody. It was real blood running down off of the altar for the atonement of the people's sins. If the people would come to the temple without being recognizing the shed blood of a lamb, they could not enter the temple and they could not take part in the service of getting their sins covered. You hear what I said? Getting their sins covered. Covered until the fullness of reformation came. So the blood of bulls and goats and turtle dove was a covering and was a type and shadow of a what? A better, more unique sacrifice could come. And that sacrifice could not come until after the 4,000 years that Israel used animals as a blood sacrifice. Now, I want you to get that because in the Old Testament, it was dangerous. In the Old Testament, buddy, the law was cruel. The law was, if you did something back in the Old Testament and they judged you, you would be stoned to death, hung, killed in some manner because of the sin that you have done. And God at that time winked that sin. He winked that sin. But in these last days, he's looking for every man to repent and turn from his sins and accept the ultimate sacrifice. And we're going to get into that later. And we will let you know what the ultimate sacrifice is. Because a lot of people don't know today. A lot of people in the religious world do not know the ultimate sacrifice that God provides for the whole world. All religion, and there is about 8,000, listen to me, 1,000 different kinds of religions and ceremonies and rituals and all kinds of seances that men of religious order are trying to reach God, because no man on this planet, you hear what I said? I said no man on this planet can reach God on his own. No, 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 no. I don't care what the name of your denomination is. I don't care what the name of your cult is. You cannot reach God on your own. No man can ever go to heaven on his own power and stand before God and say, Lord, I am qualified to be your child. No man on this planet can do that. No man can say, go before God and say, I will sacrifice myself and I will raise myself from the dead and I will sit on the throne with you on your right-hand side. No man, no woman, no child, no teenager can do that. The whole human race had failed in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, the whole human race fell into sin. They became sinners. They were born sinners. They were shaped in iniquity. Every baby that's born is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We inbred it with sin. We can't escape sin on our own. The only way that we can escape sin in the Old Testament is the blood sacrifice of lambs and turtle doves and heifers. And that was only a type and shadow. That was only a period of time. And at that time, only the blood of animals could cover sin. What the blood of animals could not do, it could not take sin and destroy sin. It cannot eliminate sin. It was a type and shadow of a better sacrifice. And that sacrifice we're going to try to cover tonight to let you know. I don't care if you got a PhD, a CD. I don't care if you're a professor, a lawyer. I don't care if you're rich or poor. I don't care if you're white or black. I don't care if you're yellow or green. I don't care if you're up in that status quo. You cannot get rid of sin on your own. No, 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 no. You cannot bring your own redemption. No man on this planet can bring redemption to himself or bring redemption to his fellow countrymen or fellow man. There's only one man, and that man is God is man. God becomes man. God walked on this earth like a man, talked like a man, had the same feelings that a man, had the same experience that a man. And that man is known to the world, at least some part of the world, that man and the only man that's known to the world that has been preached about the last 2,000 years, that man is only one man. So here you come with a whole lot of religions and deities saying that there's many ways to heaven. There is only one way to heaven. I said there's only one way. You go down a one-way street, you go the wrong way. Amen. You're going to hit a head-on collision. Amen. If you go out on the main highway and where that highway says do not enter, amen, and you go ahead and enter that way, I guarantee you will get arrested or you're going to cause an accident or you're going to get killed. So there's only one way. And there's no way for you to back up and try to find another way for man to be pleased to God other than the way that God made. And God made that way and only one way through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says in Acts 4:12, there is no other name given among men whereby men can be saved than the name of who? Wait a minute. Who? Who? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God himself in the flesh made a way that he could bring salvation to the souls of men, because that's what he came to die for. He came to die for the souls of men, save men's souls from sin, death, hell, and the grave, and the lake of fire. Save men. And the only one that can save you is Jesus Christ. Woo! Let me bow my head, man. Getting hot up in here. Man, my pots are boiling. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're boiling on the stove. I got Ezekiel, Daniel. I got Hosea. I got all these prophets that spoke of this man that I'm going to talk about. Amen. To let you know, amen, your church going is all right, but church going cannot be pleasing to God until you know you know Jesus Christ yourself. Because a lot of people have been going to church, but they don't know the man. They do not know who Jesus Christ is. The Bible says, in the last day, many, 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 many people shall come in his name, and they shall honor me with their lips, and they shall have a form of godliness, but they don't have no power. And the only power that you have, amen, that God can please with it, is the power of the Holy Ghost through who? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Amen. I don't spoke about 19 minutes. Let me bow my heads in prayer. Amen. I call to bless this message this evening. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, those that's out there listening to the word of God, amen, that they may accumulate and they may comprehend what it means for the death of birth, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what it means for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, what it means to know that there's only one way to heaven, what it means to know that the only way a man can please to God, he must have faith, and that faith is in Jesus Christ. For without faith, we know, Lord, that it's impossible to please you. We must believe that you are, you existed, and those that believe him and diligently seek him shall be rewarded through salvation of the blood of the cross. And we just thank you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just ask you, give me the wisdom and understanding, and we'll never see you give the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm standing on that because that's on my heart to let you know. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. In other words, John 3:16 said, God gave himself through himself, Jesus Christ. Ooh, Jesus Christ is God. Let me get that to you right now. Jesus Christ is God. I don't care what nobody say. I do not care what nobody else say. You're not going to change my mind. You're not going to change my spirit. You're not going to change my faith in Jesus Christ, because I know without a shadow of doubt who saved my soul. Nobody but Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can only save my soul by his sacrifice that he did on Calvary's cross. Jesus Christ do not have another way to save us but through his son, Jesus Christ, God himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Amen. And then it says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. And now we're living in the very last days. We're living in a day now where people are going every way but the right way. They're not seeking Jesus Christ. They're seeking everything else on this planet. They're seeking a vaccination to stop corona. They're seeking money. They're seeking fame. They're seeking glory. They're seeking to have a good time. They're seeking to live on this planet another 30 years and do what they're seeking to have the pleasure of sin for a season. They're seeking to get drunk. They're seeking for sex orgies. They're seeking for all this worldly garbage that Satan's laying down upon people. And that's what the devil's trying to tell people now. Don't worry. Jesus Christ is really not coming back. It's a figmentation of your imagination. He's not coming back. People want things to get better, but it's not going to get no better, my friends. It's not going to get no better. This coronavirus is nothing, but it ain't nothing compared to what's coming on this planet. Woo! Hey, it's coming. It's on its way. It's going to get so bad. It's going to get so bad. Listen to me now. It's going to get so bad, but there's a time coming when the Antichrist becomes a beast. You're not going to be able to buy or sell. You're not going to be able to do nothing unless you really receive the mark of the beast. And the coronavirus is not the mark of the beast. It is making a gateway. It's making a highway for the mark of the beast to come through this coronavirus thing. Because there's a time coming when you're going to have to receive a mark unless you want to buy and sell. If you want to buy and sell, you're going to have to receive this mark. And this mark represents that you believe. And you are trusting in this Antichrist, which is coming on the scene very soon. He's on his way. He's on the earth right now. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, my friend. He is waiting for the proper time, and the proper time cannot be coming, and he won't get here until the greatest event that will strike this planet at any day, any hour, any month, any year, and that is the rapture of the church, period. Period, brother. Ain't no escape. The Antichrist is here, and he cannot come on the scene. He cannot be revealed until the removal of the body of Christ. And there is no such thing as the church going in the middle of the tribulation or at the end of the tribulation. The church will be raptured up before the tribulation can come, and the Antichrist cannot come until the body of Christ is removed, and that's from all around the world. The whole world is going to witness it. Ooh, from Portland, Maine, clear across the United States, over into China and Russia, over into Afghanistan, over to India, over to Israel, on the other side of Eastern and Western Europe, on the other side, on the back side of the world. There's many people now, amen, that are getting saved by the grace of God, and there's a time coming when the trumps are going to blow, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air, and that is very soon, soon and very soon. Jesus Christ is going to remove the church first. He's going to remove the church. When he removes the church, then the Antichrist will come on the scene. And the world, the Jewish nation, is waiting for this Christ. And they think it's the true Christ, but it's not the true Christ. It's the false Christ. Because God is going to prove to the Jewish people that they are in the wrong, that they have sinned, that they have rebelled against me. I'm going to give you the opportunity to get a taste what the real, real false Messiah is going to be like. He's not going to be no picnic to the Jewish people. In fact, he hates the Jews and he hates Christians. Where did he get that hate from? He got that hate from Lucifer, because Lucifer hates God. Oh, my God. Listen to what I'm saying. I said Lucifer hates God. Why do Lucifer hate God? Why do the devil hate God so much? He hates God so much because he tried to overthrow Elohim. He tried to overthrow God's kingdom. He tried to rule in God's place. He tried to take hold of the whole universe and rule it from who? From God's throne. Now, you know, that's a lot of gall of Lucifer. And he is an anointed cherubim. He is one of the highest angels created by the breath of his mouth. He spoke Lucifer into existence. He was not made from the dust of the ground. He was not designed from the dust of the ground. God spoke him into existence. And when he spoke him into existence, he was placed as the highest cherubim, archangel, in the presence of God. And God made him beautiful. My God, my God. He made Lucifer so beautiful. And you say, well, how do you know he was beautiful? Well, let's go to the Bible. I'm going to show you the originator, amen, of sin. Amen. And who and what he's planning to do to our world today. And guess what? He's doing it. He is messing up people's lives right and left. And the only thing Lucifer can do, the only thing he can do is what? Kill, rob, and destroy. And that's what he's doing to our families. That's what he's doing to the young people. That's what he's trying to do to the church. He wants to get rid of the church, but he cannot destroy the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. The church is indestructible. Did you hear what I said? I said the church now. I didn't say denomination. I didn't say a cult. I said the church is indestructible. You cannot destroy the crucifixion and the blood and the suffering and the miracles and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's indestructible. The devil can't stand against it. The devil cannot stand against it. Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago, he said, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church. I ain't talking about your church. I ain't talking about my church. I ain't talking about some church down the road. I'm talking about the one that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ is indestructible. And whoever's born of God, amen. Listen to me. Whoever's born of God is indestructible. You can destroy my body, but you cannot destroy my soul. And my soul is indestructible. That means if I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, my soul is saved forever. In other words, the devil cannot unsave me. The devil can't take my salvation. The devil can't touch my salvation. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ repels against wickedness. And they tell me I've been sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. And the devil is mad. He is mad at the cross. He resists the cross. He hates the blood of Jesus Christ. He don't want nothing to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. And so now he thinks he can destroy the church and he can't do it. Why? Because Christ is indestructible. Amen. The Bible says, Christ said, I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the first and I am the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So he was here before Lucifer was, here before I was and you was or anything else was. And before him, there was nothing but him. And by him being here by himself, he is self-existent. Oh, nobody made him. Nobody designed him. Nobody can tell him what to do. He's everywhere. So when you say where he come from, if God existed, where he came from nowhere. How did he come from nowhere? You see, since he's everywhere, there was nowhere for him to come. Self-existence. Self-existence. Don't need me. I need him. Amen. I need God. God don't need me, but God loved me so much that he want to use me. He want me to show his glory. He want me to glorify him. He want me to be in the image and spirit and image of him, and that is love, mercy, goodness, understanding, forgiveness. He want me to walk just like Jesus Christ in love, in mercy, in knowing that man has a soul. He got a soul, and they only got one soul. Woo! And if you're born in this world and you live in this world for a period of time and you die in your sins without accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I guarantee you hell will be where you will spend eternity because you refuse to let Jesus Christ pay for your sins. Instead, you said, I'll pay for my own sins. I'm not going to accept Jesus Christ. I don't need Jesus Christ. And I believe Jesus Christ never existed, but that's all right. He existed before you did, so how can you come up and tell me that he don't exist now? He outlived every human being on this planet. Nobody lived beyond God Almighty. Nobody lived beyond Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of my faith. And Lucifer is mad. He's hellish mad at God Almighty. He wish he could destroy the world. He wish he could destroy God's plan. He wish that he could destroy God's church. But he cannot destroy God's church. Can't do it. Israel will never be defeated by no other nation because God already promised Israel, I'm going to bring you back into the land. And let me tell you, Israel, you are indestructible. All the nations are trying to get rid of the Jews. They're trying to get rid of the Christians. But you can't get rid of God's people because the earth is the Lord and the fullness therein. And everything that he made belong to him. And he said, all souls are mine. And the souls that do not want to come to Jesus Christ and give their life to Jesus Christ and walk a new life and talk a new talk and believe and be saved and be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't want to do that, if you don't want to come to Christ and you die without Jesus Christ in your life, hell will be your home and you will spend eternity in agony. Here's what Satan, here's what Lucifer, here's what he looked like before he failed. before he fell from heaven, he was God's protector. He protected God's throne. He is an entity. He is a deity. And he was the greatest angel. Lucifer was the greatest angel next to God. Next to God. He was close to God. God gave him a position. And that position, amen, was to give God praises to the other angels. He was to tell the sons of God to praise him. In other words, he was the music man of heaven. He was the choir director. He was the protector of the cherubim throne of God. He was the one that when God would come off his throne, Satan would stand in the front of his throne with his plumed wings to protect his throne. And I don't know how long he was in heaven, but he was in there long enough to think of an evil thought. And that evil thought was he wanted to overthrow God's kingdom and take over the orbit universe. He wanted to be like God. And we got men today wants to be like God. They want to do the miracles of God. Men today think they are God in some sense. But no man can be God because there's only one God. God can become man, but man can never become God. Woo! So that's what I'm telling you. Lucifer is mad. He is mad as hell. And he's out to destroy anybody that gets in his way. Anybody that listens to him. And he's got a lot of people going to hell with him. Let me tell you something. He's got a lot of people going to hell with it. Because let me tell you, God is the way that leads to destruction. Amen. You're going to hell. You can have all kinds of good times. You can party. You can do anything you want. You got a broad way to live. Woo! And people today are living broad. They're living the way they want to live. They're living the way that the Bible tells you narrow is the way that leads to life, and very few will find it. It says a very few going to find the glory and the salvation of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Satan said, if I can get them people, if I can get people on earth, if I can get the families of the earth to not to go to where? Not to go to church. You can go to church all you want. And ain't nothing wrong with going to church. Fail not to assemble yourselves together for a matter of psalm is, for we know that the day is approaching. Yeah, go. But let me tell you, there's nobody that can go to church and think just because they go to church, they're going to hell. No. A lot of people going to hell through the church. A lot of people going to hell through the church. A lot of preachers going to hell through the church. A lot of deacons going to hell through the church. A lot of people, a lot of choir members going to hell through the church. A lot of people have a formality of righteousness, but they don't have no power to love. They don't have no power to live for Christ. They don't have no power to live sanctified lives. They don't have no power to call on the name of the Lord every day, every hour. Amen, amen. You need Jesus Christ every second of your life. And people, they ain't got their mind on the Lord. They got their mind on trying to live and get over this coronavirus and get back out there and do the same old thing before they would do it. But it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen, my friend. Listen, this is what the Bible said. What Lucifer looked like before he fell. In the 28th chapter of what? 28th chapter of Ezekiel said, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. And said to him, thus says the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Woo, talking about the king, but it's not talking about the king of Cyrus. It's talking about the entity that's in Cyrus. Listen to what it said. Thou hast been in Eden. Who has been in Eden? Lucifer's been in Eden. Not the Garden of Eden, but was the Eden in heaven. And there was an Eden in heaven. And thou hast been in Eden, the Garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. This is what kind of stone that covered Lucifer, the anointed cherubim, the fallen one. Listen what covered. Sardis, topaz, diamonds, beryl, ox, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabits, and of thy pipes. Pipes. What you talking about, pipes? Pipes coming out of it. Was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. God brought him in the day that he spoke him into creation. And there was nothing in the God in God's presence but God himself, and he spoke Lucifer. He spoke this anointed cherubim into existence. This is what it said. Thou art anointed cherub. Thou art the anointed. Ooh, that's a high office. Anointed cherub, thou coverest, and I have set thee so. Thou was up on the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That he was in the presence of heaven. He was in the presence of the glory of God. He was in the presence of all the beauty, all the gorgeous angelic beings that was around him. He said, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. What? Till iniquity was found in thee. Woo! He was all right. Lucifer was all right. And you say, well, preacher, where do you get the word Lucifer? I get the word Lucifer in Isaiah. Isaiah breaks it down for you. Isaiah, amen, the 14th chapter. Listen, this was Lucifer's plan to do. The anointed cherub in the book of Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. In the 28th chapter, we read about the anointed cherub. But in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, we read this. The 14th chapter of Isaiah, we read exactly what it says, the 12th verse. The 12th verse. Now, this is the same deity of a cherub. In the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, 12th verse, this is the same one in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. This is this diabolical demon, devil that became corrupt. He came so corrupt, he don't care nothing about nobody. You hear what I said? He don't care nothing about nobody. He don't even care about himself. And his main thing that he wants to do and the only thing he can do is to kill, rob, and destroy and damn people's souls into an everlasting fire. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do to you, your family. That's what he wants to do to every human being on this earth, because God take very important about how he created man, because man is the only man, person, people on this earth that was created in the image and likeness of God, both spiritually and both physically. Woo! We're made in the image and the likeness of God. And God take pride in mankind. And Satan said, oh, you made man better than I did. You made man better than me. And Satan said, I'm jealous. I'm cruelly jealous. And I'm going to eliminate your creation. I'm going to damn every soul that I can get my hands on. And so this is what he did. This is what caused him to become rebellious. Listen to what he said. It says, 12th verse says, how art thou fallen from Lucifer? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? This is where you get your Luciferians in the modern technology and world today. You got Luciferians today. Amen. These Luciferians come from Lucifer, and they worship the devil. The Illuminati are devil worshipers, and all the occults are devil worshipers. Listen. Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up on the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Woo! Listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking about the devil now. I'm talking about the low-down, dirty, rotten, conniving, sneaky, two-faced, backwards, split-hooked, A lot of people say he got a horn, but I don't think he got no horn, but he got a tail. And let me tell you, that tail is a long tail because that's all he can tell is a lot of tail. And let me tell you, he took one third of the angelic beings, fallen angels. He convinced them to go with him to turn against the Almighty God, the holiness, the righteousness, the love that God has for his creations. Satan said, I'm going to take over. I'm going to take over everything. And he couldn't take over heaven, but when he came to earth, he took over earth. He's been ruling the earth right now for 6,000 years. Oh, I know God is the ruler. But Satan has been ruling in destruction and killing and murdering and rape. He's been ruling in wars and pestilence and diseases. He's been ruling all in trying to down people's souls. But God has been ruling in righteousness. And the only way that God can change his world is man has to repent and open up his heart. Come on now. Man has to repent and open up his heart to Jesus Christ and let Christ come into his life. And man says, I don't want Jesus Christ. Satan tells the humanity, you don't need Jesus Christ. There's many ways you can go to heaven. And the Bible tells you there's only one way to go to heaven. There's only one way, one faith, one baptism, one heaven, and one hell. And buddy, let me tell you something. If you don't take that narrow, straight way to the cross and fall down on your knees and repent of your sin and give your life to Christ, if you don't do that and you die without knowing who Jesus Christ is and you die in your sin, you want to bust hell wide open, preacher, deacon, sister, mailman, philosopher, theologian, black, white, Jew, Gentile, if you don't repent, you're lost. And if you're lost, there's only one place you can go. That's hell. And Satan said, I've been rebelling against God for 6,000 years, and now we're coming to the end of the rebellion. The world has rebelled against God Almighty and his love. They have rebelled against the hope of glory through the cross. They have rebelled at Jesus Christ going into Garden of Gethsemane and falling on his knees and calling out, my God, my God, my God, if you can find another way that I can escape the judgment for sin, because all our judgment fell upon Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ kneeled to his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. If it's not my will, but let your will be done. He pleaded that three times. Father, Father, let another avenue come across my mind that I can escape the judgment of God upon me through the cross. And they tell me the last thing he said, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus Christ knew that there was no other way that man could be redeemed other through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every human being upon this planet is nothing but sinners. And thank God Almighty, he called me out of darkness into the marvelous light. And I know if I was born a sinner, you were born a sinner too. I know if I got to be saved, you got to be saved too. I know that Jesus Christ is the only one that was born without sin. He was the only one that became a sin offering. He was the only one that took Calvary's cross. He was the only one that tell me hung on the cross for 6 long hours. He was the only one that spoke from the cross. He was the only one that dropped his head between the lock of his shoulder and gave up the ghost and went down into the bowels of the earth and got up on the third-day morning. He was the only one that told the disciples to go back down to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. I'm going to send you some power from on high with the Holy Ghost. And that was the only one that said, I'm going to be gone for a little bit. I'm going to be gone for about 2 days. And the 2 days represent 2,000 years. And the 2,000 years is up now. And Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. But before he comes back to earth, he's got to remove the body of Christ. So Satan is mad. He's mad. He's mad. In the book of Ezekiel, said that he was covered with gems and silver and gold. And he said, the 28th chapter of Ezekiel says that after he was cast down, listen to this now. Listen to this. Listen to what the word of God said. The devil said, I will, five times in the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse. He said, I will, five times. I'm going to dethrone God Almighty. I'm going to dethrone Jehovah. I'm going to dethrone the everlasting. Woo! You know he got a lot of gall. I'm gonna take over the whole universe, and I'm gonna rule it. And he realized that he said, "Now I can't go by myself." So he did a coup in heaven, in the presence of God. He did an open coup. God knew exactly what he was planning, and God didn't stop him. He let him follow through with it. And when Lucifer followed through with it, he was dethroned from heaven. He was cast out of heaven like a bolt of lightning. And he became the adversary of the world. He became the adversary for over six millennia. He has been an adversary from that time of the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve failed and gave the world over to Satan. And Satan has been in charge of wickedness. That's the only thing he's been in charge with. He in charge of the gambling dens. He in charge of the whorehouses. He in charge of the Illuminatis. He in charge with the secret societies. He in charge with the government. He in charge of all that. That God ain't got nothing to do with that. That's Satan doing, running his business. But God got another business, and his business is saving souls. And Satan got a business of destroying souls. And men today are taking on Satan's side. But if you follow Satan, if you reject Jesus Christ and you follow Satan, you're going to burn in hell with the devil. Now listen, you're going to burn in hell with the devil. You want to suffer the mercy and the love and the long-suffering and the sacrifice and the resurrection and the coming back again. If you deny that flatly, say, I don't want it, I don't need it, I'm going to go, I got my own homemade religion, and I'm going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. You hear what I said? You're going to heaven. A lot of atheists believe they're going to heaven being an atheist. The New Age movement says, I'm going to heaven. The Buddha says, I'm going to heaven. Judaism says, I'm going to heaven. Shintoism says, I'm going to heaven. Without Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven with being a Mormon. I'm going to heaven being a Unitarian. I'm going to heaven as being a Satanist. I'm going to heaven as a Taoist. All these religions that man said they believe that they can get to heaven, that's man's frailty that believe that he can overthrow God. That's the same spirit that Satan thought he could overthrow God's throne. And he comes down here on earth and he's trying to overthrow God's throne. He's trying to overthrow the world and try to damn everybody. But let me tell you, God got some people that have accepted him. Don't let nobody fool you. God got some real Christians on this planet. God got some people who will stand up for righteousness. They got some people who love the cross. God got some real genuine, born again, baptized believers that mean to do well and do good for God and let the world know, hey, at the name of Jesus, At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, every dirty knee, every black knee, every white knee, every Jewish knee, every knee, every Russian knee, every knee is going to bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Yes, indeed. And you got Christian signs that believe they can go to heaven. Now, we got Jehovah Witness. We got the Nazarene Church. We got the Islam Church. We got the Methodist denomination, Protestant, we got fashionism, we got the Catholic, we got non-denom, we got the Church of God, we got the Baptist Church, and don't get me wrong, I'm not downing people's denomination. Amen. Because you can be in a Baptist. Amen. It's not you just being a Baptist because you weren't born a Baptist. You were born a sinner. And the Baptist can't save you. Amen. The Baptist didn't die on the tree, on the cross, and come up from the grave. It was Jesus Christ. And if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to drop that Baptist and pick up the cross and follow him daily. Because without the cross, there's no hope. Make no difference what denomination or what education you have. We got the KKK believe that they are chosen of God, and God didn't choose the KKK no more than he choose any other person. Amen. When he chose you through Jesus Christ, because if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you're your Lord and Savior, whether you KKK or BBB, hey, if you haven't been born again, there's a change in your life. If you haven't had that change to love the black man, the white man, the Jew, the Gentile, if you don't have the love of God in your heart, amen, you're going to hell. You're going to H-E-L-L with a whole lot of L on it. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that in hatred. I'm saying that in love, because Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than he did heaven. The reason why, because you don't want to go to hell, and Jesus Christ said hell is going to be full, because he said broad is a way that leadeth to destruction, and many go in thereat, and narrow and straight is a gate that leadeth to life, and very few will find it. And let me tell you, very few people are finding Christ today, and a lot of people are trying to find him on their own account, but you got to pray to God and repent of your sins and turn to Christ and believe that he died and rose again and accept him in your life so you can be changed. Otherwise, if you haven't had a changed life, you're lost. You got the Armstrongism. You got the voodoo. You got the witchcraft. You got the homosexual and lesbian. You got the apostolic church. You got the Church of God in Christ. You got Confucianism, and you got humanism. You got all these different dialects and all these different kinds of religion, but the only way that a man can ever come to God and enter the kingdom of God is through his son, Jesus Christ. This is what it says. This is what it says about this Lucifer. I'm talking about him because I want you to get acquainted to him in your spirit. Amen. He said, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Lucifer sinned. And when he sinned, he became the originator of sin. He's the originator of sin. He calls himself to be rejected by God eternally. So he became a hatred of righteousness and love and mercy and forgiveness, and he rebelled against God. And since there, he's been a violent, violent fallen angel. And not only has that, but he took, like I told you, he took one-third of the angelic beings, and now they are the prince power of the air. They rule in first and second heaven. And he says here, thou hast sinned. Now listen to this. You know the five-hour will that Satan said? Well, here's the five-hour will that God said he's going to do. All right, here we go. It says, therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God. That's the first I will. Then he said, I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Second I will. Thine heart was lifted up, because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupt thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. That's three. Then he said, I will lay thee before the kings that they may behold thee. Lucifer is going to be visualized at the end of the tribulation. The whole world, the whole fallen race, the righteous race are going to be hailed and see exactly what Lucifer looked like, because the world is going to see this monster that has become. He said, I will lay thee before the king that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuary. Thou hast tried to defile the churches of God by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquities of thy traffic. Therefore I will, there you go, that fire, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All those that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now, a lot of people, they got that wrong. They think God's going to block Lucifer out of existence. That's a lie. No. No, that's a lie. He's going to block him out into everlasting destruction, where he will never be destroyed. He will suffer for what he has done ever since he was created. He's going to pay in the lake of fire. He's going to pay for what he did to humanity. He's going to pay for what he did to babies. And he's going to pay for every sin he's done. And then you got the fallen angels that's going to pay for following them. And then you got a part of the human race. You got the human race that people today are following the devil. They love the devil. They love killing and murdering and raping. They love music. They love undressing themselves. They love the whole house. They love the gambling den. They love football, basketball. It's just a game, but people are in love with it. And God says, man, you love that more you love me, you're not worthy of me. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all their mind, all their soul, and love thy neighbor thyself. Now listen to what it says. It says in the 28th, it says, thou shalt never be there anymore. So what I'm saying, the devil is now ruling in first and second heaven. Devil is ruling now in first and second heaven. And he's going to turn this world into a hell box. Hell is everywhere on this planet. You can't go nowhere where you can't find tragedy somewhere on this planet. The devil is trying to destroy the human race. And he's doing it by the will of the people that's following him, the unbelievers, the wicked, the unjust, following the devil, the Satan worshippers and the Illuminatis and the Baphomets and the Kabbalahs and all these witchcrafts that's going on in the world today. We sit all over our TV set. It's all in the air. The devil is ruling, and he's trying his best to try to defeat the purpose of God. And guess what? He lost a long time ago. When Christ got up from the grave, the only God man that resurrected himself, Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh. There is no other God in the heavens or in the universe or in the eons or the ions that ever was resurrected on his own power. No God, no Buddha, no Shintoism, no Judaism, no God. Christianity, to let you know something, Christianity came out of Judaism. What's the similarity of Christianity and Judaism? In Judaism, there was blood of animals. In Christianity, it's the blood of Christ. You got it? That's the similarity. It was blood in the Old Testament. But the New Testament, it was the ultimate blood. That was God's blood in Christ. God's blood, not human blood, not the blood of animals or anything else. It was God's blood. And God's blood by the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary, and God himself took up on the natural flesh of man and became human. God became human. First time in God's eternity that he felt what human, what it is to be a human being. Oh, my God. First time. Lord, have mercy. First time in human history of the ions and the eons that God became a human. He had a blood system. He walked. He got hungry. He sweated. He cried. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, suffered, died. He got angry while he was human. And all the human that he was, he never sinned. Never, never. You hear what I said? If Jesus Christ would have been one little sin, just one little, microscopic, invisible to the naked eye, even under the microscope, if he even saw one little sin that Jesus Christ ever done, he would have never been able to get up from the grave. Do you hear what I said? Do you hear what I said? He would have never been able to get up from the grave if he would have been one little sin. He would have never been able to even heal anybody. He would have never been able to walk on the water. He would never be able to call a dead man from the grave. But because he was God, he had a sinless blood system. And that power in the blood. That's why they can say there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There was no other blood that you could sing about that had that kind of power. The blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves, the blood of men and princes and kings. No, that's corrupt blood. That's sinful blood. The only blood that's able to make my soul and my spirit whiter than snow is the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ alone. Christ alone. Christ alone. Sign up for Jesus Christ. Come on, church folks. Man, we need to go back to church. We need to get in the church and quit trying to put, oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, don't get me started. Don't get me started. Folks are shutting down churches. Preachers are shutting the Bible down. Look, you can't shut the Bible down. Jesus Christ is almost getting ready to rob you in the church. And the next big meeting I'm going to, I'm going to meet him in the sky. I'm going to meet him in the air above the clouds. I'm going to be singing and shouting. I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ. That's where I'm headed. I got my bags packed. I got my ticket in my heart, and my ticket is Jesus Christ. My, the blood of Jesus Christ. And I've been shed. The shed blood of Jesus Christ has been sealed in my spirit, in my soul, and Satan can't touch me. I've been bought with a price, and he can't buy me back. He ain't power enough to buy me back. And that's why I can't get understanding. If Christ buys something and he seals you with his blood, the devil ain't got no business trying to get you back because he can't. He said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. And you want to go to bed at night, go to bed in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that Holy Spirit put you to sleep. Amen. Wake up in the morning with victory. Woo, looking for the blessed hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the trumps of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air. Whoa, everybody looking for Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, before Jesus Christ comes, the Antichrist is coming. And I'm going to let you know all down through history, men applied to pick out who he was and where he's coming from. And I know if the word of God tells you exactly, amen, what Jesus was going to do when he got to earth, there's over 44 different scriptures in the Bible that tells you exactly where Jesus was going to be born, what he was going to eat, when he was going to suffer on the cross. It told you the city he was going to be born in. And guess what? It came true. It was true. Every 44 prophecies, 44 prophecies from Genesis to Revelation was made by the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit through holy men, and they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and every one of them came true. It let the world know exactly when he was going to come. And God He did the same thing with the Antichrist. In the Word of God, the book of Daniel tells me exactly where the Antichrist was going to come from. Yes, he did. The Jesus Christ I'm talking about is the one that comes from the east. In the Bible, the Jesus Christ that the world is looking for, that's a false, is coming from the west. And the reason why, the east, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. But let me tell you, the devil's going to be setting in the west when he comes. He's going to come from the Western European. Let me tell you now. I'm going to tell you now. He's coming from the Western European NATO common market. He's coming from that area. Let's look at a few countries. See, America, is he coming from America? No, he's not coming from America. No, he's not coming from no Texas or coming from Louisiana. No, he ain't even coming from the 50 states of the United States. He's not coming from the Antarctic. He's not coming from China. He's not coming from South America. He's not coming from Mexico. Where's he coming? He's not coming from Afghanistan. He's not coming from Israel. He's not coming from Russia. He's not coming from Romania. He's not coming from Ukraine. He's not coming from those countries. He's not coming from Afghanistan, as I said, Pakistan. He's not coming from India. He's not coming from Egypt. He's not coming from Libya. He's not coming from no country that I know that the Bible didn't mention in, but the Bible didn't mention in what country he's coming from and how long he's going to reign and who he's going to come from. The Bible tells me that. Oh, the Bible's so real. It's so true. I'll stand on it anywhere. I believe every word, every dot, every comma, every period, what God said through his holy prophet. I'm going to tell you tonight exactly where he's coming from. I'm going to tell you tonight that he's alive right now. He's standing on this earth right now. And he's waiting. And he can't do nothing right now. He's not coming out of hiding. He's not hiding, but he's on a low key. He's on a real low key. Nobody don't talk about it. I don't hear nobody talk about it. When I do talk about it, they say, oh, you really don't know. Well, don't tell me. Don't tell the Bible no. And if I can show you within the next 45 minutes, I want you to get to studying. I want you to get to praying. I want you to get looking up some of these things. Now, we know we have all through human history have had suspects of who was the Antichrist. In the Old Testament, in the 11th chapter, of the Tower of Babel, some said it was Nimrod. Nimrod broke it on down and thought he was God. He wanted to overthrow God. He wanted to build a tower to heaven to look out for the next flood. But it's going to ain't gonna be flood no more. Ain't gonna be water no more. Ain't gonna be H2O. It's gonna be fire this time. So man, let me tell you something. Nimrod was the institutor of all the antichrists, men who believed that they were God Almighty, men that have named men thought they were the antichrist. But let me tell you, I got a list right here. I'm going to name some off. You have heard of them, but these are not the ones. But I'm going to hit one that's going to ring a bell. From 167 B.C., 167 B.C. until 2021, I got over 15, maybe 20 names of men who said they were Jesus Christ or tried to take the place of Jesus Christ. 167 B.C., there was a man called Antiochus Epiphanes. The Roman emperor, the Nero, was considered himself as being God. The popes of Rome considered himself as being God, miscarriages of Christ. Charlemagne was considered to be a false Christ. Aleister Crowley, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Benito Mussolini. Adolf Hitler was one of the greatest illustrations of the Antichrist, that he could rule the world, and that's what he's trying to rule the world. Back there in the 40s, he tried to conquer all of Eastern and Western Europe until 1944. He went down for the last calling. We got Adolf Hitler. We got Joseph Stalin. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, they thought he was the Antichrist. We got Ronald Wilson Reagan. We got Gorbachev. We got Sun Myung-moon. We got Arafat. We got Louis Farrakhan trying to consider himself as being Christ. Oh, yeah. If you listen to him real closely, he got Muslims deceived all over the world believing that he's going to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. We got Carlos Hartsburg. We got William Jefferson Clinton. We got Bill Gates. We got Prince Charles. We got Daddy Grace. We got Uday Hussein. We got Assad of Syria. We got Father Divide. We got the King Hussein. We got Barack Obama. We got the Bushes, and all these men have tried to say that they was the Antichrist. No, they're not the Antichrist. No. No. He will not be named out until the rapture of the church, and he will come on the scene. When he come on the scene, the world will be in such a catastrophe that people will be looking for a peacemaker. And when the Antichrist comes, he will bring peace temporarily. He will have a deceiving peace, and he will make peace with the Jews first. He will make a covenant. He will sign a covenant. He will confirm a covenant which was being in the making right now in front of your eyes. We see now that the countries of the world and the nations of the world is fighting against Jerusalem and fighting against the Jews and fighting against all what the Jews stand for. They're trying to eliminate the Jewish people because the devil said, I can't stand the Jew. I hate the Jew. I hate the Jew because they are the ones that God used through Abraham by faith to write the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible is the most dynamic book that ever will be written, and nobody can outwrite it. Nobody can change it. Nobody can tell God to change it. It's not going to change. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word abides forever. And they tell me, the devil said, I hate the Bible. I can't stand the Bible. I hate the cross. I can't stand the cross. And the reason why he's doing that, because he knows he's been defeated by Jesus Christ, and he'll hate you if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and turn from your wicked ways and turn to God and believe on the regeneration and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fill with the Holy Ghost, that you can tell somebody that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that he's coming back again to judge the world and right there. You need to tell somebody and change from your wicked ways and quit trying to play the hypocrite and quit trying to be lukewarm and tell me he'll be hot or cold. In other words, if you're a sinner, don't try to confess Christianity and you don't know Jesus Christ. And if you're Jesus Christ, you have no right to confess that he's not Jesus Christ, because the Bible says you know you don't pass from death to life because of love of the brother. Because they tell me, if you don't have the love of God in your heart and saturated your soul and your mind and your spirit, they tell me you'll never enter the kingdom of God, because the Bible says God is love. And since God is love, whoever loveth is born of God, and whoever loveth not is not born of God. And the Bible says if a man so he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. If you saw yourself being a black man and you don't love the white man, you're a liar. And if you a white man saying you don't love the black man and you talking about you love God, you're a liar. And they tell me there's no eternal life in a liar, and God can't tolerate a lie, and he can't put up with lies. Amen. And all the things going to enter the kingdom of God is those that love and been born again. You ain't going to get in there by just you going to church. You ain't going to go in there off your mama, your daddy, your sister. You ain't going off there of your good works that you do. You ain't going off the money that you have. You ain't going off the education that you have. You ain't going off of nothing. The only way you can get there, you got to come on down to Calvary and invite yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I stand before you. I kneel before you. I confess. I admit that I am a low-down, dirty, rotten, unclean sinner. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I'm just a sinner. I don't know who you are. I've never experienced your power. I've never experienced your love. I'm just going to church, and I don't have no power, amen, to love my enemy. I'm living in fear. And let me tell you, if you know Jesus Christ, you ain't got no business living in fear. You ain't got no business fearing anything but God Almighty himself. And the Bible says the beginning of wisdom and salvation is to fear the Lord. And the world don't fear the Lord no more. They don't fear the Lord. They don't fear the Lord, I'm telling you. People don't fear God no more. They fear everything else. They fear a little old disease. Got coronavirus. Got people climbing up trees, turning upside down. I don't know. I can't shake your hand. I can't. Oh my God! You in a mess. There's something worse than corona. There's a virus out now. It's worse than corona. And it's been here for 6,000 years. It's called sin-titus. And it affects the whole body. It affects the heart, the spirit, the mind. It affects your neighbor. It affects your wife. It's a dirty, rotten disease called sin-titus. And sin is the trespass of God's law. You know to do good and does not. It's a sin. If you disbelieve in Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God, and you reject him, you are walking in unbelief, and that's the lowest, low-down sin that you can commit. I want to talk about, preacher, I'm talking about if God himself, woo, if God himself became man and came down on this earth, come down on this earth, in a man's body, and took and paid and died and suffered for your sins. Not that, died and suffered for your sins. Crucified, they beat him beyond recognition. They beat him so bad that the whole human race was to look at him, they would fall on their knees or either run away. They disfigured him like no other human being could be disfigured. They crucified him. They nailed him and let him hang and made fun at it. They heckled and they jackled and they said, oh, you so much of the Son of God. Come on down off the cross. You so powerful. You heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils. You get all that. Now come on down off the cross and we'll believe that you are the Son of God. No, they wouldn't. They still wouldn't believe it. But Jesus knew. He knew if he would come down off the cross, pack his bags, and go on back to heaven, he would have to throw the whole world into hell. The whole world, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. He would have to throw the whole world into hell. But he didn't come down off the cross. They had to take him off the cross. They put him on the cross. And then they had to take him off the cross because he was dead. He died a physical life. Went down into hell, God himself, preached into the spirit realm, preached to the fallen angels, preached to the Old Testament, preached to Isaiah, Jeremiah, preached to Hosea, preached to Malachi, preached for the pre-flood fallen angel, preached after he got through preaching. He came up out the grave on the third day morning, paid the whole penalty for sin. When he paid the penalty for sin, Satan had to shut down and cry and weep and moan. He got up out the grave knowing that he was defeated forever, can't be redeemed. He can't do nothing but kill, rob, and destroy. And so in these last days, Satan's going to have a 7-year opportunity to bring his circus on the sea. And he's got a circus coming. And he's working on the circus right now. He got a whole lot of clowns. And the world today is following the clownish ways and doing clownish things. Low down sinners, backstabbers, hypocrites, nasty mind, nasty attitude, cussing, swearing, homosexuality, bestiality. Families having a relationship with their own brothers and sisters and daughters. Child pornography is rotten. Taking 10 and 15 and even less young girls and using them for prostitution and offering them for sacrifices and to Baal. They're doing it today, my friends. Don't let nobody fool you. They're doing it today. They're doing it in the government. The whole government system is rotten, Democrat and Republican. Very few people in there are true, and if you get a true one in there, they don't want him in there. So God is saying, I see what y'all want. I see what the world wants. They want Lucifer. And so God said, I'm going to give Lucifer a seven-year trial. I'm going to give them a seven-year opportunity to do his little clown circus. And the world today is waiting for the period in which the Christians and get rid of the Jews so they can have their party. They're waiting for the world church. They're waiting for the one world government. They're waiting for the mark of the beast. They're waiting for the miracles that the Antichrist will do. They're waiting for Revelation to be revealed, and it's almost about to be revealed. But to tell me before it be revealed, there must be a 2,000-year span, and that 2,000 years covers seven church ages. And now we're living in the last church age. And the last church age is known as Laodicea. And Laodicea is the lukewarm, humanness, demonic demons, church. Satan is in charge of it, and he's going to conglomerate together into the one world church through the Pope. And the Pope is saying now, let all religions come together, make no difference what faith they're in. But let me tell you something, the Bible tells me there's only one faith, and that one faith is geared in on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of my faith. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God Almighty that gave himself up to the cross and died and suffered and came back from the grave. That's who I would bow down to. That's who I would glory in. That's who I would shout about. That's who I would cry about. That's whom I repented to. And since I do that, there is no other name that I know that I can call on that will never leave me nor forsake me. So we got this Antichrist. I look for him. I've been looking for him for 50-some years. I say 57 years. I've been looking for this guy. And about 1975, I got an awful revelation. That revelation was the final showdown of the one world order coming together under the influence of the European common market. In the book of Daniel, if you read the seventh chapter, you will read about 10 horns, 10 horns that will arise in the latter days. And these 10 horns arose in 1948. In 1948, the first 3 horns came on the scene, the European common market. In fact, 3 things happened in 1948. Number one, the birth of Israel. That's number one. That's the top of the top. Israel became a nation. After 2,600 years, they were scattered all over the face of the earth, didn't have a homeland, didn't have nowhere to recontinue their worshiping, didn't have God had scattered them because of the rebellion that they had done them since they had came up out of the land of Egypt. and the wickedness that they have done. He chastised them and caused them to be scattered all over the face of the earth and almost was annihilated by the Gentile nations trying to get rid of them. They burned them. They boiled them. They put them in oil. They hung them. They put all kind of guillotines on them. They slaughtered them like going to a pen slaughter. And they tell me, if you would study some of the documentary of Adolf Hitler, what he done to the Jewish people. He took the skin and made lampshades out of them. He took the teeth out and made gold out of them. He took all their body parts and grind them up and made soap out of them. He did them like no other nation, like they'd done before. And the Jews, good God Almighty, still kept their course. The Jews is the only people that God said, I'm going to use to bring forth the last revival upon the planet. I'm going to use my Jewish brethren because I already promised Abraham. And by using the Jewish brethren, God said, I used them to write the Holy Word of God. I used them to bring the great blessing of the Messiah into the world through Mary. And I'm going to use them in the last days of the book of Revelation. I'm going to use them after the church has been raptured up. There won't be nobody here to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And God said, I got my Jewish brothers. I got the Palachi Jews, which are black Jews. These Jews came from Moses, and these Jews came from Solomon, and these Jews are going to be able to preach the gospel is the same as a normal Jew, because whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're all in Christ. But during the book of Revelation, it's going to be a Jewish time. Yes, sir. And any nation that rebucks against the Jew, any nation that do harm to the Jew, God said, I'll curse you. And let me tell you, the nations of the world have been cursed by mistreating the Jews, but the only nation that have stood behind the Jew is the United States of America. And I'm hoping and praying that America don't turn their back on the Jews, brethren, because that's the only hope that America got to have to survive during the tribulation period. That's the only hope that the world can have to hear the last minute of the gospel. The last 7 years of the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached by the Jewish people, not by the church. The church will be fulfilled at the rapture, which will occur in the fourth chapter of what? Revelation. You see the rapture of the church. You see the door of heaven opened up, and you see John said, I caught up, and when I got caught up, I saw the throne of God. In other words, I saw the bema seat of Jesus. Oh, Jesus Christ. And there were, that's where the church is getting ready to go in the fourth chapter of Revelation. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air to be judged according to our works. And our works, whether it be good or evil, we're going to be rewarded. The saints of God is going to be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. There won't be no sinners there. No sinner will be at the judgment seat of Christ. So if you're a sinner, you won't be there. And the reason you won't be there, because you are willingly and continue on to believe that you saved and you're not really saved. You need to have an experience with Jesus Christ right now. You need to be saved right now. If you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. The real test will come. But I ain't waiting for that test. The real test will come when the trumpets blow and the trumpets of God sound. And if you are saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, repented of your sins, and the trumpets blow, and the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, you're going to be removed from the earth with a twinkling of an eye. That's when you know you are saved. And you know that you're not saved. If you come to find out that millions of people are missing from the planet and your loved ones are gone, you know that you're not saved. Fool yourself. You let the devil fool you. And when that comes, that means that you're going to have to face the Antichrist. And here is, and where is the Antichrist? The Antichrist is a man that will come out of the European common market, or the 10 horns spoken by Daniel the prophet, the 10 kings, the 10 toes, and the 10 crowns. That is the reformation of the fallen Roman government, which is called the New World Order, and is led by the Illuminati and all the secret societies and all the unregenerated people that's running the government today, because the church is not running the government. The devil is running the government. God is running the church. What God is doing, he's bringing people out of the world in sin, bringing them into the church by the new birth, not a member of a fellowship, not putting your name on the roll, but putting your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When he puts your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that means that you receive Christ in your soul, and now you are born again believer, and that the trump will sound, you will be immediately transferred from earth to glory, and those that are left here will have to face the Antichrist. Now, here is where he's coming from. He's coming from the West. He's coming from the revived Roman Empire. Because the revived Roman Empire is the new Roman one-world government today that's going to congeal together under one leadership, which is the Pope of Rome, that will bring the one-world church into existence, which is already in existence. And you find her in the 17th chapter of Revelation, where you see this woman with a golden cup in her hand, a golden cup in her hand, riding up on a beast, up on a political structure, a religious woman, right? A religious. Religion is nasty. Religion is sick. Religion is man-made. Religion is demonic. Religion is a mess. Religion is sick. False religion will be damned, just like Jezebel was damned when she was thrown off the wall and her blood hit the side of the wall and what? And it hit the ground and the chariots rolled over her and the dogs came and ate her, except her hands, her feet, and her head. And the false church will be done the same way under the power of God Almighty. And in the tribulation period, she has a golden cup in her hand filled with abomination and filthiness of the earth, and low-down, dirty woman. Oh, she looks good riding the beast. She looks fantastic. She looks like all the women put together, amen, and half-naked with a golden cup in her hand, colored in red and purple, and with jewels all over her, with all kind of sweet-smelling perfume, and the world is gazing at the worldliness of the world and gazing at the sexology and all this stuff, and they love it, and they will join up with this, make no difference your nationality, make no difference what you call your faith or your religion. You all come together under this, and when you come together under this, that means that you are going to follow Lucifer. Lucifer tempts you by making things look good, and he knows how to make things look good. That's how he deceived Eve, by making something look good, but not good for you. This woman, this false church, is found in what? Revelation 17th chapter. That's the religious system. The devil has a religious system today that consists of all kinds of different of phony, fake religions. Men making up their own way to serve God. But the Bible says God is a spirit. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're not worshiping and honoring and respecting and fearing God in the spirit, you ain't worshiping the right God. You got the wrong God. You got the God of Dagon. You got the God of Baal. You got the God of Moloch. You got the God of sex. You got the God of money. You got the God of materialistic things. That's what you're worshiping. And when you worship that, you're under the influence of the false antichrist spirit. So, three things happened in 1948. Birth of Israel, World Council of Churches, and the New World Order. Revived Roman Empire. And now it's at a full bloom right now. Because all religions now, under the influence of the Pope, is getting ready to unite under one umbrella, which will be led by the woman on the beast. We got one world money system. Everybody going to have to use credit cards. They're going to get rid of cash. You're going to have a number branded on your hand or on your forehead in order for you to buy or sell. Otherwise, you will not be able to buy and sell. The coronavirus is a gateway to introduce the mark of the beast into the system. And the people today are gradually accepting that because they believe now you have to have your vaccination shot before you can even go to different places. So when the time comes, already people will be geared in to fit in with the market system called 666. So, where is the Antichrist and what country is he coming from? Well, here it is. Daniel saw 10 horns, 10 crowns, 10 toes. 10 toes up a bit last day. 10 crowns represent authority. 10 toes, 10 crowns, 10 horns represent power. And 10 kings represent kingdoms. They're all joining together. And John picks up what Daniel left off. Daniel said, I saw these 10 horns that were fulfilled in 1986. They're all 10. 10 was there. And the last 10th horn that came into that realm was Greece. 1981. Greece was the last horn. And by Greece being the last horn, in order for the 11th horn came, the 11th horn came in 1986. That was the 11th horn. Now, out of all the nations that already had been in there, what nation came into to be the 11th horn? Catch a hold of this now. This is Bible. I know I ain't messing up because it comes from the Word of God. The 11th horn that came into power was the weakest nation that was on the planet. And that was Spain. Spain was the 11th horn, and this 11th horn had eyes like a man and a mouth that spoke great things against the Most High. This is the Antichrist. The Antichrist now. Name is King Felipe, the son of Juan Carlos. The son of Juan Carlos Sr. That back in 1931, Franco Generalissimo, Franco Generalissimo knew that he had a son, and he told Felipe's father, which is Juan Carlos, he told the king of Italy that he wanted Juan Carlos to be the next king of Spain. So he sent to Spain in 1938. Juan Carlos was 10 years old. This is Bible. This is Bible now. This is Bible and Whitaker Encyclopedia and Botanical Encyclopedia. And Juan Carlos came to Spain and was trained by Generalissimo. Juan Carlos was the descendant of the throne of David. Esau. The Spanish people came from Esau. So actually, Spanish people and Jewish people are brothers. And these brothers came out of Rebecca's womb. Esau came first, and Jacob came second, and Jacob had a hold of the ankle of Esau because he was going to become, he was going to come the head of his older brother by deceitfulness. And so Generalissimo Franco sent for Juan Carlos and trained him in four basic military army forces, sent him to school, and King Juan Carlos became the King of Spain in 1975. 1975, he became the King of Spain because Generalissimo Franco died. And Generalissimo Franco was a friend of Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini. So he was a dictator, and he trained Juan Carlos under the dictatorship of that and put him in place of the King of Spain in 1975. In 1975, Spain had to be under the kingship of Juan Carlos for 10 years before they can come and be the head of the 10 European common market. And in 1986, Spain was considered as a democracy country. And from 1975 to 2014, Juan Carlos was the King of Spain. And since he was the King of Spain, he had a son that was born in 1968. By him being born in 1968, he will be the heir of the throne. After Juan Carlos had got too old, when he got too old, they tell me he gave the throne ship to King Felipe, which is now the King of Spain. He was born in 1968. Now he's 53 years old. He stands at 6'6". He done been to four military schools. He knows 10 different kinds of languages. He's under the Black Magic Institution. He belongs to the Illuminati. He's a Satan worshiper. He believes in sacrifice of animals, sacrifice of children. He's under influence of being the King of Jerusalem. The Jews don't know it, but they believe that this man is alive today, and I can tell the Jewish saint he is alive. And when he come on the scene, they're going to believe that he is actually Jesus Christ, and he's going to give them, he's going to give them the power to build a temple. We're in the last days, remember that. Going to give them power to build a temple. The Antichrist is going to sign a covenant and confirm a covenant. And he's going to come after the rapture of the church, and he's going to confess and say that he is Jesus Christ. And the Jews will accept him because the Jews don't believe in the cross. This Antichrist coming, he ain't going to say nothing about the cross. He ain't going to say nothing about the birth and death and the resurrection of himself. He ain't going to say nothing. He's going to only want you to worship him and believe to give them permission to turn back to Judaism and offer sacrifices of animals and turtle doves, and they're going to agree with him until they're going to accept him as being the Messiah. And he's the wrong Messiah because the Jews don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of because of the cross. So that's going to give the Antichrist power to bring a peace pact. And that's only going to last 3.5 years. And war is going to break out. War is going to get ready to break out between Russia, between Turkey, Iran, Iraq, Libya, Ethiopia, Syria. Those nations are trying to destroy the Jewish people because they believe that if they can get rid of the Jewish people, it will keep from Jesus Christ coming back to this earth. That's how crazy the devil is. And see, the devil works through the human race. He works through the human race. And what you see today is devil plotted. Everything you see in the government is devil plotted. And God is letting it happen to fulfill it. And when it gets to the peak point, the rapture of the church, the white horse, is going to ride in the book of Revelation, the sixth chapter, the white horse is going to ride. And I don't mean that he's going to come through the sky riding a horse. No, it means that he's going to enter Jerusalem, probably in a white limousine, in a white uniform, and he's going to say that he is Jesus Christ, and the Jews are going to shout. They're going to say, yes, this is what we want. We're going to rebuild our temple. We're going to do the old priesthood again. We're going back into Judaism, and Judaism is no longer in power because of what Christ done on Calvary's cross. He eliminated Judaism, and Judaism brought Christianity in because Christianity comes from the word Christ. When you say you're a Christian, that means you're Christ-like. You have the spirit of Christ. You think like Christ. You love like Christ. You're joyful like Christ. You got the Christ attributes. That's a Christian. A Christian is a loving person that loves God with all their mind, soul, heart, and strength. And the world says, the name of the man is King Philippe the Sixth. 6'6", tall, handsome, debonair. Debonair, and he's going to arrive pretty soon. He's on the horizon, but he cannot rise until the glorious body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is removed from planet Earth. It's not coronavirus that I'm upset about. I'm upset about Sin Titus. I know Sin Titus is not in the Bible, but that's as close as I can come. That you need a vaccination. And I don't mean man-made. Oh, my God. I don't mean man-made vaccination. The human race needs a divine vaccination. They need a shot of the blood of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit to come into their spirit man and change their life and make them a new creature. Separate you from sin. Destroy the sin that's in your soul and in your spirit and make you a brand new child of God. Born again. Not churched again, but born again. You become a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. You are a child of God. You done got rid of sin in your soul. Your soul is whiter than snow. Your soul's been washed in the blood. Still, you still have another nature. You still living in a fallen nature, and that nature is called flesh. Flesh cannot be changed. The only time the flesh is going to be changed from mortal to immortality will be when the trumpets blow. Then you become a sinless person. A sinless person. You will have no sin nowhere. You will be spotless on top of spotless. Because this mortal body is going to be changed to immortality. And we're going to have a glorified body just like Jesus. And if you haven't been born again, you don't get this body. You'll be here on this earth. And the Antichrist will come on the scene. And for those that don't make it, and I hope you make it, if you accept Jesus Christ, only thing you got to do, you can't go to the priest, you can't go to the pope, you can't go, no, you got to get this for yourself. And the only place you can get it, I know that. The only place I got my salvation is through the cross. Nowhere else. Buddha ain't got nothing for me. Shintoism ain't got nothing for me. Islam ain't got nothing for me. Taoism ain't got Jesus, the Son of God. God himself wrapped up in human flesh, suffered for my sins and your sins, and paid the price. And if you reject, if you ignore, if you walk away from the blood of Jesus Christ,
and never accept him before you die, then you will shaking, you will have fellowship in hell with the devil forever in the lake of fire. And you'll be gnashing and gashing the teeth for one reason. You refuse. And you refuse to repent. And repent means to turn from sin. Every last one of them. And I mean hate sin. Hate it. And if you hate sin, turn to God, accept Christ, you can be saved just by confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart that God raised him from the dead. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Because the soul of man is in the blood. As found in Leviticus 17, chapter 11, verse, the soul of man is in the blood. And the soul of Jesus Christ, the soul of God, was in that blood. And Christ shed his blood on Calvary. And the fountain was opened in it. The blood stopped flowing out. And if the sinner, you hear what I said? I said if the sinner fall beneath the flow, tell you right now, brothers and sisters, you'll lose all your guilty stain. You don't have to worry about nothing no more. You can love in peace. You can love. You can help somebody. You can strengthen somebody. I don't hate nobody on this planet, nobody. I hate the devil. I hate his lying tongue. I hate his organization. I hate everything he does. I resent him. I hate him. I believe the power of Jesus Christ, I can fight him with my own hands because he ain't no good for nobody. He hate babies. He hate blacks. He hate whites. He hates Jews. He hates Christians, he hates anybody, mostly for those that stand for God. And if you stand for God, you're going to be hated by the pits of hell. Hell's going to be after you every day. Christ told me, and he'll tell you, I will never leave you. Neither will I forsake you. Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. What I mean by that, the end of this age is getting ready to happen. This generation is on its last 7 years. The 7 year tribulation ain't started yet, but if you would take 73 years, Israel has been a nation. If you would take 73 and add 7 on to that, you get 80. 2028, 2029 is the end of that generation. What you say? And it's time for you to recognize that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he gave his only son. And heaven is going to be extravagant. Heaven is going to be unbelievable. Heaven is going to be forever. Heaven is going to eliminate everything that you see on the planet today that's not like God. Heaven is going to eliminate it. God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And a new city going to come out of heaven up on this planet after God renovated. He's going to purify no sin at all. No sin at all. Nothing but love. Love through eternity. And the devil knows it. Devil don't want you to even have a partaker with it. He wants you to keep you out in that world and do your lying, cheating, backbiting, whoremongering, all that stuff, and party, 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 and think you're going to die and go to heaven. You're wrong. You got to go to Calvary. I want you to recognize, as I play this song, I hope you can hear it.
We are a designer toy store in Chicago. We added PayPal as a touch-free way to pay. We show the QR code up at the red.
Under Jesus, God, that whole rugged cross, that's the only hope that the world have today. I want to let you know, you come on back
next Wednesday.
We'll come back for another session. I want to let you know, God bless you. Keep looking up. Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. Nobody else. Trust in Him. You trust in Him, I hope to see you in glory. Good night. God bless you.
If my mind goes back to the song, still ain't gone. In my mind, and the world don't like this.
I can't.
Thank you.